Welcome back again. Thank you for joining us on the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I appreciate having you ride along with us, and I ask you to go and visit our sponsors and supporters and let them know that you heard about them on the air, and also buy something from them. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And Pat, you have asked to go first.
Yay. Yay me. I want to talk about AOC's request that the mainstream media refuse to air Trump's announced speech Thursday night. Trump made an announcement that he was going to give a speech on primetime TV on Thursday night. He didn't give us the topic. Immediately, somebody at the White House leaked the topic to, I think, MS Now. So Trump came out yesterday and admitted what the topic was. They are doing investigations on the election steal
in Georgia
from 2020. Not just Georgia. Just recently they released information that 260,000 or 26,000 ballots, absentee ballots, were miscast in a Detroit election, I believe. At any rate, they're doing a lot behind the scenes investigating this. And yes, they're investigating Fulton County, Georgia. But he's going to talk about the fact that Iran hacked our election and created a whole bunch of ballots for the election.
Yeah, they hacked into a voter roll or
went into voter roll. They stole voter names. They created false ballots for them. And, you know, when it only takes a few ballots to flip those elections at the state level, it was a significant number. I forget what the number was. But that's one of the things Trump's going to talk about. And it's timely since we're in a war with Iran. They have announced that he's on their assassination list.
He's going to be presenting evidence, if I understand that
right. Yeah.
So I have a question about these ballots. I understand how ballots could be created, but if they're created in specific people's names, what would happen if that person showed up to vote? Because I'm assuming it would have been a mail-in ballot.
Well, if you're talking about a state that doesn't check the information on the mail-in ballots, we've heard plenty of that. I mean, the lady in charge of elections down in Georgia, I think in Fulton County, testified that she didn't know she was supposed to check the signatures on the envelope of mail-in ballots. She'd never heard of that. She'd been in that position 14 years. Never apparently read the election code.
Okay.
And probably a politically appointed position or something to that.
Yeah, and
I'll ride with it.
And the ballots that were wrong up in Detroit or Chicago, one or the other, those were all mail-in ballots. I mean, you know, we've heard over and over again that mail-in ballots promote fraud, and that's where they're finding the fraud.
Well, we saw the videos back then of the quote, drop boxes, the official drop boxes.
Mm-hmm. 2,000 Mules, was that the name of it?
Yeah, yes. That you know, somebody would come by and drop in 100 ballots at once, and they were wearing latex gloves, and they had a mask on and whatever when they were dropping.
Yeah.
Is there any oversight at the post office by election integrity people as far as making sure that the postmaster is doing what they're supposed to be doing?
No.
Because that's where I would see the opportunity.
Well, he's already addressing that. They're creating a tracking bar for the envelopes, and it has something to do with whether or not the post office will accept them.
It just seems like that would be place for shenanigans.
There's also the matter, and I don't remember which state it was, where a whole bunch of the absentee ballots had not been folded even.
That was Fulton County.
Yeah, then there was another set of ballots, another area. Again, these are all anecdotal, but where the ballot, when the ballot was folded and put into the official envelope, holes in the envelope to make sure you put a ballot in it. If it was folded properly, put in there properly, a little note said, you're a Republican and you're not a Republican. And all of a sudden, a whole bunch of ballots disappeared.
Well,
based on party.
Yeah, part of the problem with AOC asking the media not to cover it is she doesn't know what Trump's going to say. So how is she trying to censor it ahead of time?
I mean, and what would be the reasoning?
I thought the Democrats were in favor of free speech. But as we've noted over and over again, only if your free speech is approved by
aligns,
them.
Aligns with my
aligns
thought.
Aligns with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is that getting any traction?
I don't think so.
I would
Trump's
going to
give
I
his speech
imagine.
Anyway. And I think the media is obviously going to cover it because it'll give somebody fuel for the new narrative.
Yeah.
You know, that he's lying, this is all pumped up.
Well, typically Trump says what he's going to talk about. So is he not saying what this is?
He didn't.
Right.
So then they started speculating. So he came out yesterday and said, yes, I'm going to talk about election security, because that gets the Dems in a rile because of the upcoming midterms.
In the way that President Trump works, and the way he's worked historically, the art of the deal and whatever else, and I'm going to pick on the Straits of Hormuz right now, that when he talked about, well, we're going to charge, so many thousands of dollars to pass through or whatever else, and of course that immediately got reversed. And because he wants the support of the countries around there. I mean, if I pay you to do something, I don't have to like you. If I'm going to work with you and support you and build something with you, I probably will have more allegiance to you.
So that shifted to investing in the United States versus...
He's a negotiator. He's a negotiator. He might throw something out that's a really bad pill just to make sure that we're going to reverse it.
When he first came out with that, I said exactly that. I said, I don't like that. It's supposed to be international waters. I don't think anybody should be taxing anybody to go through there. However, I did like the idea of the U.S. getting compensated for the assets that we were deploying to ensure safety of the other countries. So I liked that part, but the chess, the 3D stuff that he tends to be doing, it's like what I said to Glenn. I said, it can't be this, because that would just be doing exactly what Iran's doing, saying we're going to tax these people to get through safely.
Well, I want to know what has been resolved as to the insurance. Remember when this first started?
Yeah, because that's the real...
Lloyd's of London canceled everybody's insurance, and then nobody would go through the straits. Well, then Trump said, well, we'll provide insurance. And that all disappeared from the news. So what's happened to that?
I haven't heard anything, so I'm believing that we're not providing them insurance. I do know we're trying to provide them protection, but I heard in the last day or two a dozen people on these shipping vessels have been killed.
Or injured,
So that was the first time...
The protection's not working.
Yeah, that was the first time in my memory that anyone was killed or injured in terms of crew members in the last 3 or 4 days.
However, we do have ships going through the straits right now.
Reduced. It's a lot less.
Yeah.
It's like 10% of normal.
I want to go back just for a second to the speech. Isn't it interesting that this speech on election integrity or fraud or whatever you want to call it is occurring just as the SAVE Act goes as part of a reconciliation bill into the Senate?
Well, he's not giving up.
I mean, I'm saying I don't see that as a coincidence.
Well, I think that everything with the election integrity is so important right now, because I don't think that average Joe is aware of all of the fraud that has existed forever, and it needs to be addressed if we ever want to have any hopes of the people getting into power who we elect
Well, I'm amazed at the Democrat senator, and I can't come up with her name right now, who made the comment that if the SAVE Act is passed and you have to prove that you're an American citizen to vote,
Slotnick,
the Democrats won't win any more elections.
She's one of the six that told the military to not obey the commander-in-chief.
Well, why would an honest election mean that Democrats don't get elected? What is she saying there?
She's saying that the Republicans cheat.
But isn't the way she's saying it indicating that if there's not cheating, the Democrats can't win?
Yeah.
She's actually saying our platform is undefensible, but we need to win.
Well, speaking about platform, has anybody paid any attention to the Democrat socialist platform?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've admitted that their goal is communism.
But and they're putting that out like they're proud of it, and it flies against our Constitution in just about every point.
Well, they're coming against private property, and it's interesting that Venezuela right now, as the private companies are taking over the oil industry in Venezuela, the production has soared.
Taking it back.
Yes, that's true, taking it back.
Right.
But production has soared because socialism doesn't work.
That was part of my explanation. Remember when we were at lunch and Julie asked me about the Cold War?
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about the arms race.
Yeah.
When Ronnie Reagan was president.
Mm-hmm.
And that they finally admitted they couldn't keep up with us. And the Soviet Union collapsed. And she asked me why that was. And I said, because communism doesn't produce an economy.
Well, the wild part of that was the fact that he walked out of Reykjavik because he wasn't willing to give up Star Wars. And Star Wars didn't really exist at that point. It was a theory. It wasn't necessarily a practical thing.
Does it exist now?
Yes.
Well,
that's what the whole Patriot missile system.
Yeah, the precursor is the Iron Dome.
Yeah.
That works over Israel.
In my imagination, you
Trump
know,
wants a golden dome.
In my imagination, I picture it as being satellites like in the Transformers movies, you know, the satellites zapping each other.
Well, the Patriot missile was the first generation of that against the Scud missiles from Sad Men and Sane.
Scud.
But again, at that time, it was a theory. It was not reality.
Well, with microwaves and lasers, I think they're going to be satellite weapons.
Yes.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
I've invited Steve Reed to join us for a quick update. He's got an event coming up. Steve?
Yes, in Moorhead City at the Civic Center on July 18th, Saturday, from 1 to 7, we'll be having the Patriot Mega Summit. And what that is basically we're going to have about 20 to 25 different speakers. We're going to have comedian. We're going to have music. We're going to have vendors. There's going to be a lot of knowledge being shared, and have tables that you can go and actually get to talk to them one-on-one. So some of the political people, you'll be able to get some one-on-one time with them. I think it's a way to meet some of the people that are involved, and it's about giving back to the community.
Excellent. Come join us July 23rd, 6:30 to 8 p.m., Moore's Barbecue on MLK Boulevard in New Bern. Our guest speaker will be Lauren Spivak, a noted author and free market warrior. Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Kim, you've got some of the stuff we began talking about.
When we were talking about the platform for the Democratic Socialists, some of the things that they are intending to do is mandate a 32-hour work week with no pay cut, and federal jobs are guaranteed. A social safety net that demands free government-funded health care, Medicare for everybody, and a free education pre-K through college. It would rewrite the Constitution that includes abolishing the Senate and expand the House of Representatives. They would replace the two-party system and the Electoral College with a multi-party democracy and a popular vote. They support defunding the police and abolishing prisons, grant full voting rights to non-citizens, and blanket immigration amnesty, demand an end to all U.S. military aid to Israel, and seeks reduction in overall military spending. There is an online place you can go to if you're interested in this. Just look for the Democratic Socialist Platform. They have their own website. They're very proud of their ideas to destroy our country.
Or you could just read the early history of the revolution, 1917 revolution in the Soviet Union.
Well, there is a couple things in there that make sense. They want to shut down the prisons, so it does make sense to abolish the police because no one's going to get arrested. So there is some continuity to their thought.
Some inner consistency.
Yeah, inner consistency.
You know, I'm going to go back. I will go all the way back to, 1972, I think it was. I had an audience with Governor Noel of Rhode Island at the time, myself and a bunch of other folks. And he was talking about public service individuals, government employees, versus private sector. And the dilemma that he was in was it used to be the public sector employees generally got paid less, but they had great job security. They were never going to lose their
and
job.
Benefits seemed
and
to be greater.
And benefits. As opposed to working in the private sector, your chances of losing your job, yeah, you could get laid off, you could get fired, whatever else, but generally you were more risk. You were taking higher risks and you were making more money or something to that effect. Well, the problem was the unions came into the public sector at that time, and they were demanding equal pay for the public sector workers, but they weren't demanding equal output. So that's what we're seeing right here in that DSA platform. Is we're going to cut the work week down.
But they're not looking at cause and effect of any of it.
No.
Cause and effect in the manufacturing that would go down, in the workforce obviously is going to be going down if everybody is eligible for the social safety nets. But think about the consequences of having no crime control. You know, who is the first person who did Nancy Pelosi's husband call when his house got broken into? He didn't call a social worker.
No.
So I'm thinking that these elitists that are supporting this utopia idea picture themselves as the kings in the castle with the moat in the fences and the pawns out in the fields.
And of course, they would immediately have to vote for gun control / gun elimination because we don't want any uprising from the little people.
And how's that worked in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. And they'd have sharks with lasers on their head.
Mm-hmm. They'd have what?
Glenn, do you remember where that came from?
No.
No? Austin Powers.
Yes.
Oh.
No. The bad guy says, why are my sharks with frickin' lasers on their head?
You totally lost me on that one.
One thing that I'd like to interject, though, is the whole idea that the public services are represented by a union. You know, and that happens a lot, not here in North Carolina, like with education and all, but they're negotiating with other people's money. It's not like a union in a business environment where there's a company that's got their money at stake. I mean, these public service unions, they're negotiating with other people's money. They're not accountable.
And I know that when our government was first established, there was a great they tried to prevent spending future people's money from future generations or future elected. You know, we don't want to incur a debt on somebody in the future. I incur debts on me while I'm in office.
Yeah, well, the history you guys were talking about where the private citizens had more risk, but they made more money. Well, the unions and the federal employees have turned that entirely on its head because now it's hard to get rid of federal employees and they make more money.
And they make more.
That's because they negotiate with our money, not their own money.
That's right.
Well, whatever the reason,
yeah.
the being risk averse, as a federal employee, I mean, federal employees look at their jobs as entitlements.
Yeah.
So they're all really PO'd about Trump coming in and getting rid of a third of them.
But it seems to me that even with that, there's a hierarchy in the government jobs. It seems like the people that work in a state house or in a legislative position get paid more than the military or the teachers. So it's not all government workers get overpaid.
Well, I don't think anybody includes the military as part of government workers. They're thinking of people in D.C.
I just want to insert a little history. On January 17th, 1962, President Kennedy signed Executive Order 10988, which granted federal employees the right to join unions and engage in collective bargaining.
Yeah, I was trying to think of which president did that.
Well, it was Kennedy.
Which was a total fallacy, that whole negotiation system.
Another Democrat pandering to unions. Who'd have thunk it?
Very hard to undo that, though.
Well, it's an executive order. You can undo that.
Well, didn't we used to mandate balanced budgets as well?
I don't know that we ever did.
Now we don't even do budgets. We just do continuing resolutions.
Well, I remember when we were on the gold standard and there was not supposed to be any quantitative easing.
Oh, yeah.
And how that's happened several times now.
You're not old enough to remember when we were on the gold standard.
I'm not?
No.
Oh, I feel old enough.
that's
ended a different conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole different
That was Nixon.
No, that ended in the 70s,
That was Nixon. Nixon got rid of that.
Yeah, that was in the 70s.
That was a joke.
Yes, okay. I know, that's right.
Well, I keep saying my mind tells me I'm 25, my body tells me I'm an idiot.
Unfortunately, we can all relate to that.
Yeah, check your knees. Yeah. Instead of check your privilege, check your knees.
That's right.
I'm going to bring up, I'm going to go way back. Let's see. Hang on one second. Sorry for the quick interruption. Where are we going to go? We're going to go off to, let's look at Amy Coney Barrett was testifying before Congress yesterday. I know they were there. She and Elena Kagan were there looking for more funds for security for members of the judicial branch.
Well, the what do you call it? The violence that has gone into our politics in the past, I would say, 5 to 10 years is frightening. And I think it's reached a level we haven't seen before. And we saw an attempt on Kavanaugh, and we saw threats on all of them. And evidently, in the time that Roe v. Wade was leaked, before it actually became a written decision, Amy Coney Barrett was forced to wear a life jacket, or, I'm sorry, a bulletproof jacket, because...
You mean vest?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever it is.
Because of the threat level. And the idea was that if you got rid of one Supreme Court justice before that decision was released, then it wouldn't go the way that it went. But what she said, she was talking about it, and she was shaken by the whole incident. And she's been, you know, she's been threatened, and she's been scared by it. And she's admitting that she's intimidated by it.
Which means that she can be influenced on her votes. But I want to take this in the direction of any elected official is in the exact same position. And you know what you're putting at risk when you go for those jobs. So if she doesn't feel like she is protected or safe, maybe she should resign instead of compromising the constitutionality of the country. And I don't think she's the only one that has been threatened. I think that there's enough controversial deaths happening from forever. And you heard way, 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 way back, prior to even the Kennedy administration, where there was a FBI black book espionage things on senators and House members. Blackmail and death threats have been part of politics as long as...
Forever.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, yes, there should be security, but they shouldn't feel like they are at any more risk than any other judge. I mean, there's been violence in courts
yes.
throughout history.
And I think, yeah, the humans just happen to be evil. Pardon
well, does
my
she
French,
think?
But
does she think for 1 minute that Trump hasn't had to have discussions with his family about the assassination threats on him?
Well, can you imagine what the members of his family that weren't in Butler, Pennsylvania, thought when they saw everything that happened that night?
Or Charlie Kirk, or...
Yeah.
I'm just saying that you know what you signed up for.
Yeah. They all the politicians get death threats.
Right.
There's a lot of kooky people out there, and the Democrats are urging them on.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Where it used to be...
And media is also urging them on.
Yeah, and where it used to be, you know, the FBI had a black book, and we never heard about this stuff. They were investigating it behind the scenes. Now it's in mainstream media.
Well, there was a woman from Michigan on TV last night talking about getting down and socking it to them because that's how we go.
Oh, the one with the funny accent.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, and talking about the media being co-conspirators right now, because it used to be that the media would, for a period of time, the media would not release the name or anybody that did one of these crazy violent acts. I don't want to give you that publicity. Well, now everybody's getting that publicity and
well, look at the four New York Times reporters that have been subpoenaed to find out who leaked the fact that the new Air Force One doesn't have a missile defense system, forcing Trump to fly the old Air Force One back from Turkey.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Mary, you're taking us in a totally different direction.
Yes. The House of Representatives has passed a bill to make daylight savings time permanent.
It's called the Sunshine Protection Act.
Yes, and they did it, but it was a bipartisan vote. It was 308 to 117. They actually agreed on something. Now, it probably won't pass in the Senate, but what was interesting to me was the medical profession's reaction to this. This is what their statement has been made. By artificially shifting the clock time an hour forward, daylight savings time causes a misalignment between clock time and solar time, interfering with our circadian timing and resulting in a condition known as social jet lag, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine stated in its opposition to the bill. This condition is associated with an increased risk of obesity, metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular disease, and depression. If daylight savings time becomes permanent, then Americans will be living with social jet lag year-round.
I have two points to make. One,
Keep it clean.
Okay. I got it out of my system during break. Number one, Arizona doesn't have daylight savings time. Remember, they had a Republican governor that said, we're not going there. I haven't heard any disturbing news out of Arizona about daylight savings time. And number two, correlation is not causation. Anybody that takes a research class learns that. Just because you can find all of a sudden we have more heart attacks doesn't mean it was caused by the 1 hour change in the clock. It's the fact that they're spending so much time and effort on this, and that the mainstream media is spending so much time covering it, and people are getting engaged and getting into various camps, just to me is so silly.
It's a misnomer to start with. There's the same amount of daylight no matter what the clocks say.
Yeah. Well,
as has been said, the Indian tribe says you cut 6 inches off of one end of the blanket and you sew it onto the other end of the blanket. And how much longer is the blanket?
But also, I mean, how disruptive is it to have to change the clocks twice a year?
It's very disruptive.
We need to pick one or the other and just go with it.
Well, if changing this so we stay on daylight savings time, if right now when we change it, if we come onto daylight savings time, does that cause the heart attack? Therefore, when we go off of daylight savings time, that will save people from heart attacks?
Good point, Bob. And if you want to talk about circadian rhythm disruption, talk to shift workers. When I was in the military, when I was stationed in Hawaii, we worked 3-1-3-1-3-3. So we worked 3 days of day shift, 24 hours off, then we came back in the afternoon, 24 hours off, then we came back at midnight, 24 hours off. So we were sleepy all the time, but, which could be seen as a security threat. When I was in Berlin, we worked 4 days, 24 off, 4 days, 4 days, which isn't any better than 3 days. Now, the Army took a totally different position. They had people work months on the same shift before they changed. I mean, they rotated too, but it would be months at a time. And here we are whipping through it in 3 and 4 days.
And here I was in the Navy, and as our ships sailed east towards Europe, and we were losing an hour. We would always lose that hour at night when we're supposed to be sleeping. When we sailed west coming back, you always added the extra hour during your regular work shift during the day.
So your efficiency improved.
But the other part of it too, one of the complaints I've heard is that, oh, the kids will have to go to school in the dark. Well, why not move the school day back a half hour or an hour to account for this? I mean, this is...
But they do now. The people that get on buses, whether it's daylight savings or not, if you're getting on your bus at 6 in the morning, it's not sunshine.
Yeah, that's because of busing.
Well, true, but I'm...
Because they have to ride farther.
But the point that Mary's making is getting on the bus in the dark, and I'm saying that they already are.
The other thing, too, and I think Glenn kind of said it, in a maybe not in a specific way, is why are we dealing with this and we're not passing the SAVE Act, which has been sitting in Congress now for more than a year?
Well, I think you'll see politicians stampede to take a SAFE vote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than a risky
voted
vote.
For it, but 95 Democrats voted against it and 22 Republicans voted against it.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. But it was bipartisan.
Those magic words.
And I'm going to bring in Bill Gates, because Bill Gates, well, actually, he's no longer there, but imagine what Microsoft and Apple have to do to get your computer to automatically adjust the time. And now, all of a sudden, in the United States, we won't adjust time, but in foreign countries, we may have to adjust time. And I mean, that's all computer programming. It's all done automatically. Your cell phone changes from daylight savings time to standard time all by its lonesome self.
This could be another Y2K.
Well, my phone changes time when I fly from here to California all by itself, too. And that doesn't have anything to do with daylight savings.
Well, my new car has a program that tells me what the speed limit is in the zone where I'm driving, and it blinks at me when I'm speeding.
So you must see it blink a lot.
So you put masking tape over there.
Don't look.
Okay.
Hey, so Mary, you earlier said you wanted to change profession, move to California for...
Oh, yes. There's a new California law.
Is it a law?
Yes.
Well, it's some little portion of a law that got enacted.
That requires goat herders in California to be paid $240,000 a year. So I'm figuring I should go out to California, buy a little one-room shack, two goats, and declare myself a goat herder.
Yeah, two
Sounds
goats.
Sounds like a good deal
is
to me.
A multitude of goats. That makes it a herd. Yeah, one goat, not enough. Two goats, herd.
One goat can't be herd?
Can't be herd.
Okay. Now I understand also in California and other places, they're using herds of goats to create a fire line, a fire break, so that when you get these wildfires going, the fire break that's created by the goats and whatever else will actually limit the extent of the fire growth.
And I think that is really a good idea. Goats are really good at clearing out the undergrowth for fire in general. However, I don't think goats naturally need a herder. They were a wild animal. Let them be wild and do what they do.
But you're taking away a
$240,000. But you got to tell them where to do it.
You're taking away a $240,000 a year job.
When you go to the Rocky Mountains, do you think that those goats you see hopping around the mountains are asking somebody if they're getting herded or paid or
those
not?
Those are mountain goats. That's a whole different ballgame.
They're goats. They still eat vegetative stuff.
Yeah, but we don't eat them.
So?
I mean, we grow goats as a source of food.
We don't eat goats.
Lots of people eat goats.
Around the world, people do eat goats.
I had goat barbecue in Texas. I was watching a show the other day about Texas barbecue, and they had goat barbecue. Plenty of people eat goats. Mexicans
eat goats. South
Carolina,
we went to a restaurant that had alligator meat.
I had some of that in Texas, too.
And by the way...
No, I had rattlesnake.
I'm happy to say goats are very, very willing to eat poison ivy. And I am allergic to poison ivy. I will get a goat for that reason. Except our HOA won't allow it.
And I think it's a good idea for fire prevention, but I don't think they need herders. I think they can be wild and be just fine.
Oh, running all over the highway.
So, I guess
like
the real question is, why did it make it into the law for $240,000?
Well, I guess goat herders have really good
lobbyists.
They have unions.
Or nobody wants to do that job, so they have to pay a lot of money to get somebody to do it. But, you know, it must be difficult because when we're having an organizational thing and we can't get people to do what we want them to do, we do say herding goats. So it must be difficult.
No, herding cats.
Herding cats. Right?
Herding cats.
I've said herding goats.
Well, you were wrong.
Again.
Okay, where do we want to go?
I think this homeless encampments in New York City is a big deal.
I think what's more of a big deal in New York is Mamdani's explanation for why rape is going up.
Oh, I didn't know there was a... What is he saying?
He says that the law changed defining rape to make it broader. Therefore, the numbers are going up, but it's actually the same amount of rape.
And do we... Are we naive enough to believe that?
Maybe New Yorkers are.
Well, even if that's true, one's too many.
I agree.
So they just need to address that. Of course, they want to defund the police and any other law.
Yeah, he's already canceled a system. They were going to add so many police officers. He canceled that.
Yeah, so he's really spot on with his approach to his concern.
You know, New York City used to be a really neat place to be. And it was a fun place to walk around and shop and go to restaurants.
Depends on which decade you're talking about. Do you remember the movies in the 70s that showed dysfunctional New York, filthy, full of crime? And we would look at it and go, I don't want to go to New York.
Well, I remember New York in the 60s when John Lindsay was mayor, and that was interesting, to say the least. But you could still walk around. And I remember being there in the 90s, and you could still walk around. And I remember when Giuliani took over, and then you could really still walk around. But I wouldn't go near the place now. It scares me.
Kim, you wanted to take us to that homeless situation.
Well, it just says that Mondani is cutting enforcement on these homeless locations, and there's one that's expanding on the west side that covers 12 city blocks. I don't know how many miles that is, but if it's like New Bern, that would be a pretty big area. And so they have drugs and prostitution in broad daylight, and it's an eyesore, and it's bad for business. And I can imagine that there's plenty of rapes going on in those homeless encampments. But why is he allowing this?
Oh, I didn't realize that's over by the Intrepid Museum.
By the Intrepid, the Intrepid Carrier. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Oh, wow.
But it wouldn't that be considered a security risk?
Yes.
I'm sure it would be, yeah.
Now, 11th Avenue is kind of away from the main tourist trap. And I mean, because your tourists are running around 7th and 8th Avenue, around Broadway and 50th and places like that. So 11th Avenue, your average tourist, unless they were going to the Intrepid, would not encounter that. But it's still horrible that it's there.
Well, this isn't about tourists. This is about mankind and human
dignity.
Protection.
Degradation.
I mean, whether tourists see it or not isn't the issue. It's allowed and it's being promoted.
Well, the article quoted a guy that ran a food cart, and the camp was creeping towards his food cart. He said, who's going to want to buy food when you can look right over there and it's crusty and dirty and stinky? And
ugh.
Well, it's
just becoming the streets of San Francisco, as much as I hate to say it in that terminology.
Well, I wonder if the people that voted for Mondami are happy with what they're getting.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Come join us July 23rd, 6:30 to 8 p.m., Moore's Barbecue on MLK Boulevard in New Bern. Our guest speaker will be Lauren Spivak, a noted author and free market warrior. Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to Sponsors and Supporters. We're going to head off to
inflation. Yes. The annual inflation rate is now at 3.5%. It was 4.2%.
No, I'm going to stop.
The lowest it's been since 2020.
I'm going to stop you for a second. Pat, how many economists were right in coming up with this?
Zero. They polled 67 who had been predicting before the report came out that inflation was going up. All 67 of them said that. So all of them were wrong.
Well, they all said that because Trump was in office.
Well, yeah.
It always amazes me when a Republican is in office. And, for instance, if the unemployment figure comes out lower than expected, it's a shock. If it comes out higher than expected, it is really a shock. But if a Democrat's, you know, is in office, it's a whole different perspective and everything is just, it's fine.
And they can go back and adjust it 6 months later.
Which Biden did, of course. But it was interesting to me. The inflation rate is down. Right now we have a very volatile crude oil market. I just checked, and this is Wednesday, and crude oil prices are hovering at about $80 a barrel.
And we, as a country, are independent of all need for other countries' oil.
Yes, but it's still a worldwide commodity, and we're still impacted by what goes on in the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, the only reason we don't need the Strait to be kept open for our energy. We're doing this for Europe because they need it. And the number of pipelines that are now being constructed to avoid that strait and the number of ports that are being dredged out and activated to avoid that strait, I have a feeling that within 2 years, the Strait of Hormuz will be totally irrelevant.
Well, I want to point out that we're not doing this out of the goodness of our heart, because it is a worldwide commodity. And if Hormuz continues to be this big of a problem and the world goes into depression, we're going with them.
Yeah, we'll be impacted by it. But I think the moves that are being made now will make Hormuz totally irrelevant in 2 to 5 years. With the pipelines they're building and the work they're doing on the ports. I think that the people impacted by what's going on in the Strait are tired of the roller coaster that Iran has created. And unless there is a change of regime in Iran, and I don't know if that's on the agenda or not.
Trump said it wasn't.
The roller coaster will continue.
Well, I say, take Karg Island, bomb the bridges, bomb the desalinization plants, bomb the electricity plants.
You can do them one at a time.
If you're going to go over there and try to destroy them, don't pussyfoot around. Get it done.
Well, they already bombed the railroad bridge that was the supply line between Russia and China and Iran. And there is a nuclear facility that is buried, really buried, that they didn't get last time, that they're already talking about going after.
But it's an ideology of the people, the Iranian people, that has to change. Destroying the country is just keeping them from having a nuclear weapon at this point, keeping them from fighting back and going after Israel. But if their ideology doesn't ever change, if we don't get rid of the Republican Guard, what has really changed other than destroying the country?
Nothing. And the hope is that the people who were killed protesting in the streets, the hope is there are enough of them at some point.
They're dead.
Well, I know, but
I had my doubts about the innocence of the masses after seeing on TV the millions of people.
They were paid.
That's what Glenn said, because we had the discussion yesterday.
Even though it was a big crowd, because it was in a relatively small area compared to the whole country, there's 80 million, or might have been, even if there's 1 or 2 million there. And it was propped up.
Yeah.
You know, the inflation and all that, Warsh, the new Fed chair, I do think that he's really doing some good work. And I know I don't have a lot of details about it, but he has gone off the reservation. He's got these 5 study committees that are out there sorting out what will get to reality instead of 57 economists group thinking and getting the stuff wrong. I do think that he is going to do some amazing
things. He's being allowed to do that, too.
And he's not going to talk about it a lot. He's not going to promote. He's going to let the numbers that the public see drives a policy. And they're going to respond to all that, not try to react and keep something that otherwise would naturally or not naturally happen.
Yeah.
So I really, Warsh seems to be
a good
guy.
It's
too bad the Supreme Court said Trump couldn't fire members of the Fed.
Yeah, that is too bad.
But the next Federal Reserve meeting is July 28th or 29th, I'm not sure. And it will be interesting, depending on what happens with the price of crude oil and how that impacts inflation, to see what they do.
Yeah, he might not even take questions or go to the podium.
Yeah.
He's not going to be communicating like the recent past.
He's not a spotlight hog.
Yeah.
As the new chair of the Fed, does he have any influence of the members of the Fed? Can he make their life difficult?
I hope so. Because Powell, when he stepped down, he stayed on the committee, and nobody's done that before. So he just wants to throw the, you know, committee to the Democrats. He needs to go.
Yeah.
And so does the lady that committed mortgage fraud.
Yes.
She needs to go, too.
Yes.
So I don't know the rulings and the dynamics of how personnel gets changed or not, but I would like to think that the Fed chair can influence that in a significant way, even if he can't directly.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm encouraged by where the Fed's going, which I think is a big deal on where our economy goes.
Yes.
Now, you wanted to head off to parliamentarian.
Well, I've been on a tangent about the SAVE Act, and I can't quite understand the resistance of the Republicans and the conservatives not getting it passed in the Senate. And one of the things that's been agitating me is that they were trying to put the SAVE Act on the floor, and they were trying to bind it with another bill, and it couldn't have been done because it didn't involve money, or it did involve money. I don't remember which. But anyway, the parliamentarian made a ruling, and the parliamentarian can be overruled.
Well, explain who the parliamentarian is.
The parliamentarian is basically the person that sets procedure.
Keeps us within the Roberts Rules of Order.
Right.
And she's a Democrat.
Right. But they make rulings that are not binding. It's just an opinion. And the presiding officer, be that Thune or J.D. Vance, can overrule the ruling. But she could even keep bills from coming to the floor, saying that that's not in the right
format, yeah.
Format or standing or whatever the legal terms would be. But they, the full Senate, any of the senators can challenge the presiding officer's ruling. So if Thune would say we're not going to bring it to the floor, another Senate person can challenge it, and the parliamentarian can say, well, I'm going with Thune, and then they just drop it. Instead of taking the authority that they have and saying, no, this is just an opinion, we're going to bring it to the floor, which I think we need to do, because as Americans, I want to know where my representative, who is supposed to represent us, because like I said in the past, they are supposed to govern at the will of the people. And we vote for them to represent us. And I don't think that they're representing us right now. And that's my soapbox for the day.
Unfortunately, there is a way to impact that, and you got to vote them out. I mean, but that's a long game, and somehow we don't seem to be able to do that.
We did it just recently, though. Those primaries were a goldmine. Massey and...
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Does anybody...
And so there is some... thank you, and I agree.
But it was a long game, because it took years since that impeachment. Because remember, the ones that got kicked out had voted for Trump's impeachment.
And we were able to get Tillis to quit.
Yeah.
But does anybody sitting at this table think for 1 minute that the SAVE Act would have passed if Trump was not the president?
Well, there are people who don't want to see it.
No, I think it would have passed if anybody else, any other Republican.
I don't think it would have ever come up.
Well, the Democrats weren't going to vote for it, no matter when it comes up.
If there would have been a different Republican president, I think it would have passed. I think they can't give Trump
away. Oh, because the Republicans would have passed it.
Right.
Now I see where you're going.
The Republicans that don't like Trump are not going to give Trump this win. And more than 80% of the constituency of the whole country wants this.
I know, but the Democrats in leadership do not, because it is going to impact their number of voters. So I don't think any Democrats are ever going to support it.
No. And the Republican holdouts, like Murkowski, Susan Collins,
are the rhinos.
Tom Tillis,
are the rhinos.
Massey, those guys have come out against it, and that takes away our edge in the Senate.
Right.
And that's against Trump.
Yes, all that is against Trump, what was just said there.
And that's is that the reality of it, that they're doing it because Trump is there and they don't want to give him the win? But again, I don't even think it would have been under discussion without his push.
Well, that's true, but if you just think about the normal daily things you cannot do. I got carted to buy spray paint.
Yeah, they have to, so you don't huff.
So
they
I want you
to be a
huffer. I have to prove ID to buy a can of spray paint, but I can go vote? I mean, let's put things in perspective. What's important?
Well, you have to show ID to get into Obama's presidential library.
Huh.
But not to vote.
Or onto any of the military bases, or like I talked in the past about getting a library card. That was harder than voting.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but that huffing, that's important. Have you seen a huffer?
No.
They spray that spray paint in a sock, and then they put it over their face and smell it in. So then they end up with big round thing of spray paint on their face. And I remember when I was in New Mexico, the guy, he bought a gold spray paint, he huffed it, and then he got back in line to buy some more, and he's standing in line with a big round thing of paint on his face. Like, nobody could tell. You've already been huffing, dude.
Well, you can probably tell because he can't get his breath, because that stuff just doesn't go in your mouth. It goes in your lungs.
Folks, I hate to break this up, but we've got to stop the show on that. I don't think we can go any further. This has been CCTA Wake Up Call.